This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov. I don't know, Shavua Tov, not Shavua Tov. I don't know where we are. But how are you?
Boker Tov, Gvar Tov. Apologies for the very, very croaky voice. I insisted upon taking up the slot this morning in spite of my bad voice, Howard, so I apologize in advance, but there's just too much excitement to talk about, and I just didn't want to miss this opportunity. We've had a really, really momentous few days in Israel, and I really want to share this with the listeners because it's just like almost like a once-in-a-lifetime experience that we've had over the past few days. So let's start with the fact that today is a day of national mourning in Israel. And that was the day that was actually designated some time ago to be a day of national mourning in commemoration of those who fell on October the 7th. And of course, in the ensuing war, approximately 2,000 people, all in all, over the last 2 years, have been murdered and have fallen in wars. And today has been designated with programs in schools and national ceremonies and lower key atmosphere. Many gyms are not playing music and not having usual classes as a day of respect, national mourning for those who have fallen. It's a day which is somewhat controversial because not everybody necessarily buys in today. Today is not really a day. It's not October the 7th and it's not Simchat Torah. But it is the day, the first day that we could logically have as a national mourning day after the Chagim. Yesterday was Yisru Chag, so today is the most logical day after Simchat Torah in the Hebrew calendar. But we already have Holocaust Memorial Day, and we already have Yom HaZikaron, which is a day in memory of fallen soldiers and victims of terror. We have that after Pesach. We also have January, which is the International Holocaust Day. We have November, which is a day in commemoration of the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. And so the question is, what is today, and is today going to be something that will move forward in the future? Let's not forget, for example, that more than 2,500 people were killed in 19 days during the Yom Kippur War. And yet we don't necessarily have a day of national mourning for the Yom Kippur War. So there are certainly some controversies and questions to be asked. And of course, right now it's very difficult for us because we're right in the middle of things still. We're still receiving bodies back from Gaza. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We still haven't received all of our deceased hostages from Gaza. There are still 19 people who have not yet been returned to Israel for burial, in spite of the fact that we've received 9 bodies over the last few days. So there is still a lot of turmoil surrounding today, but I think that there is no harm in taking a moment, lighting a candle, commemorating those who've been lost, and particularly thinking about the lives that were given willingly, those who battled in the face of danger, in defense of our country, in defense of our people, in defense of our faith, in defense of world Jewry, in defense of world freedom, willingly going to their deaths in order to uphold those freedoms which they believed in so vehemently.
Yeah, the different emotions I'm finding so interesting and so poignant at the moment, because you've got the celebration and you've got this this commemoration, and there's mourning, and there's celebration, and then there's closure, and everything's just happening at the same time.
I think that yesterday's funeral or last night's funeral for Daniel Perez, many of the listeners will know the family, the second funeral that's been taking place for Daniel Perez, I think for me that epitomized so much. And the reason that it epitomized it is because present at the funeral was Matan Angrist, who only 2 days previously was released from Gaza as a hostage after 2 years. Now, Matan and Daniel Perez served in the same tank unit, and they were in the tank defending everything that they believed in on Simchat Torah when Daniel Perez was killed, when Tomer Leibovich was killed, when Itai Shen was killed, and Matan Angrist was the only member of that tank crew to have survived October the 7th. And he was taken into Gaza and held hostage for 2 years. And in spite of saying at the funeral yesterday in his eulogy, "I can hardly stand," he said, "but I wanted to be here to memorialize my great hero, Daniel Perez, my commander, not only in the tank, but my commander for life. He was a national hero." And there we had before us the joy of the hostage who was released alive and the absolute destruction and the angst of the hostage whose body was released to his family for burial right before our eyes together. That was really, for me, an incredibly poignant moment.
It really was that whole ceremony and the connection that people are feeling towards each other. 20 live hostages released from Gaza on Monday. The bodies of 9 deceased hostages have been returned to Israel. 19 bodies remain in Gaza. How has Israel reacted to these events?
So I would suggest to you that Monday, with the release of the 20 live hostages, was one of the most momentous days in the history of the state of Israel. That is the way that I felt things on Monday. And I think it's up there with the declaration of the state in 1948. I think it's right up there with the moment that the Kotel was announced to be in our hands in 1967. I think it's right up there with the day that the peace was signed with Egypt. I think it's up there with some of the most incredible things that have happened in Israel. It was a massive, massive and momentous occasion. And we had this absurd mix of things on our television as we were watching hostages being driven from Gaza by the Red Cross towards IDF forces to be exchanged and to be brought to Israel. We saw other hostages who'd already been released reuniting with their families, being loaded onto helicopters to be brought to central Israel. We saw crowds gathered at every corner of Tel Aviv and elsewhere around Israel, very much focused in Hostage Square, but also elsewhere. I saw a video of one of the helicopters landing at Ichilov Hospital in the center part of Tel Aviv, and the helicopter landed on the helipad on the roof of the hospital. And in all of the apartment buildings around that area, people were standing on their balconies and waving their flags as the helicopter dropped down onto the helipad to bring the hostages home. That was the momentous occasion. That was the great joy, unbelievable joy that was felt, and some surprise that our hostages were able to walk on their own 2 feet, that they were able to rejoice and reunite with their families. There are so many videos going around of those moments when the families were reunited, screaming. A father who stood up from his wheelchair for the first time since a car accident that he was involved in some months ago to welcome his son home from Gaza. He promised the family that he would stand up from his wheelchair when his son came home from Gaza. And he honored that promise and he stood up and he hugged his son. It was just, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole country as we saw these scenes. And of course, as well, watching the events going on at Ben Gurion Airport and the Knesset in Jerusalem, as President Trump was addressing the Knesset and was being received as a hero for having engineered all of this. Monday for me was probably one of the greatest days, if not the greatest day, that I've experienced during my time in Israel.
Amazing.
And I think will go down as one of the most momentous occasions ever in the history of this country. And I hope that others from outside could feel that, the atmosphere.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. I know that for me, Simchat Torah, I've been having a discussion and an argument, in fact, with our listeners. I took off my yellow pin before I went to synagogue, to shul on Monday evening, because I felt it's time to start moving forward and to be able to really embrace the miracle of what's happened and the fact that all of the living hostages are home. But in some ways it was hard to do. And part of me, you know, I kept, even during the celebration of Simchat Torah, feeling a little guilty, but not guilty. And a lot of our listeners are saying, no, we're not ready to move forward from the yellow ribbons. It's not uncomplicated.
It's not uncomplicated, and I will acknowledge that my yellow wristband is still on.
Interesting.
And I was about to get a pair of scissors and cut it off on Monday when the last of the 20 live hostages returned home. And then I remembered that we still have 28 others who, although they are not alive, also need to come home. And so I am keeping my yellow wristband on until the 28 Chalalim, the deceased hostages, are all brought home for burial. And as you say, there are so many mixed emotions because there were funerals yesterday, even here in my hometown in Ra'anana. Guy Ilouz was brought home from Gaza and the streets were lined with flag-waving residents of Ra'anana who accompanied him on his final journey, to be brought home to rest where he deserves to be, rather than where he has been for the last 2 years. And there are still 19 others whose bodies remain in Gaza. And, you know, we could talk about the fact that Hamas have not adhered to their promise to bring home the 28 all at once. They were supposed to have delivered 28 bodies already on Monday. As it turns out, only four were finally delivered on Monday, and even those four were delivered after the onset of the Chag on Monday evening and were checked out at the Forensic Institute and were cleared for burial yesterday. A further four bodies were brought back on Tuesday, one of whom has been identified to be a Gazan, not even an Israeli hostage. So that apparently, I'm not quite sure whether that was an inadvertent error or whether that was part of the psychological warfare that we continue to experience, because we understand that that body was one of a Gazan who apparently had been executed by Hamas because he was cooperating with Israel. And so I wonder whether there was some sort of a psychological message that was being sent about that body coming back to Israel. And of course, as the bodies are brought into Israeli territory, the coffins are immediately draped with an Israeli flag. There is a military rabbi on hand that conducts a ceremony right away as they come into Israeli territory for those bodies before they are finally taken to the Forensic Institute for identification and for proper burial by their family. So there is a process that is being adhered to. Now, we received the four then on Monday evening. We received four, of which one was rejected on Tuesday. And late yesterday, there were another two bodies received. In Bar Haiman, the only remaining female hostage in Gaza, has been brought home for burial, finally. And she will hopefully be buried today. With Inbar and Mohammed El Atrash having been brought home and identified overnight, and that means 9 out of the 28 deceased hostages have finally been brought home. And there are 19 remaining. Now, Hamas is playing this game of saying, well, we don't know where the other bodies are. We can't find them. It's going to be very difficult and very convoluted and need a lot of equipment and a lot of effort to bring the other bodies home. And I'm sure that that's partially true. I'm sure that some of those bodies may well be buried under rubble somewhere. I mean, that may well be true. But the hostages who have returned home have confirmed to the Israeli authorities that they personally saw some of those bodies. They know where they are, and Hamas knows where they are. And if you take the example of Hadar Goldin, who was killed 12 years ago, and whose body has been kept in Gaza for the last 12 years, nobody can turn around and tell me that they don't know where Hadar Goldin has been held for the last 12 years, because that's something that they would clearly have known and wasn't undertaken in some sort of a war situation. So there are clearly certain bodies that can be returned and should be returned sooner rather than later, but I'm keeping my yellow band on until each of those bodies is brought home, and then I will gladly snip it off.
So Anthony clearly agreeing with a lot of you. I'm not on the same page, and that's okay, because this is very personal, I think. But Anthony clearly agreeing with the approach that a lot of you still have. Anthony Reich, I wish you a speedy recovery, and Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.